Can we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he had commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies, and the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he had commanded us. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 19. We can begin at verse 18, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We saw from the first session that Moses is speaking to a group of young people. It was the generation that saw God's judgment upon his people because of unbelief. It was a generation that Moses wanted them to appreciate the love that God had for their fathers and a love that God had for them. Moses wanted them to appreciate what God had done for them in delivering them out of the land of Egypt. The scripture says to us that no other nation could say that God came into another country and took his people out of it for himself. No other country could say that. But the Lord wants a response from the hearts of this generation, as they are preparing to go into the land. It's a land that has been promised, and now they are getting ready to go in. But the Lord Jesus also has a program for us. When we look at the declension among us, what is our first response? For many years, our assemblies grew because of those that came from other lands. That's primarily how most of our assemblies grew. In recent years, we've had our brethren from Nepal that came, and many assemblies that were on the brink of dying out, the Lord revived because there were numbers that were added to those assemblies. And when we look among ourselves, we see different ethnic groups that the Lord brought from other countries to be a part of local assemblies in different parts of the United States. But we ask ourselves, why is it our assemblies are not growing from evangelism? On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, 3,000 souls were saved. Shortly after that, he preached. There were about 5,000 that got saved. But when we read the words of the Lord Jesus, that all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth, and he told his disciples, I want you to go. It's the same words, I believe, that we can apply to ourselves, that there is the need to go and make disciples of men, and for us to do all that the Lord has commanded us. Those are the words in Matthew's gospel. At least I read from the King James, and those are the words that I embrace. That the Lord commanded his disciples to do something, because in his absence, while on earth, he ministered in the boundaries of Israel. But now the program will be extended. It's no longer confined. It was to go out into all the world. And his disciples there and then had to recognize that all power was given to the Lord Jesus in heaven and in earth. The Lord Jesus had accomplished the work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. He had defeated the enemy. He had set him low. And now he is sending his disciples into enemy's territory to tell them to preach the gospel. And by the preaching of the gospel, by the help of the Spirit of God, souls are going to get saved. And brethren, we ask ourselves today, why is it our assemblies are not growing through evangelistic work? Why is it we are depending on families to have, well, you have to be careful when you start calling numbers. But, you know, we, big families, numbers, and so forth, and they all, the assembly is like a family gathering, and nothing wrong with family gatherings. But we need to go out and preach the gospel as well. Because that's the way souls are added to the church, and souls are added to local assemblies. That's the way the scripture says that God desires all men to be saved, but and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For some reason, we like the coming to a knowledge of the truth. We are comfortable with that because God has blessed us with much in terms of what the scripture says, and we want men to come to a knowledge of the truth, but we fail in relationship to God desiring that all men be saved. And so we want a balance. We want to see people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and we want to see them establishing the truth as well. The assembly grew in the book of Acts through the preaching of the gospel. And beloved saints, you and I need to be stirred up. We need to be roused up, because there are lost souls out there. We rub shoulders with them day by day. We may not have the gift of that of an evangelist, but the scripture asks us to do the work of the evangelist. We can hand out a tract. We can tell someone about the Lord Jesus. We can even tell them about a Christian radio station. There are many ways in which we can expose people to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ. That which we so often say are false religion. They are making headways. They are faithful in the things that they believe. Well, what about us? What about us? Wouldn't you love to see the saints go out? Or the evangelists go out? And I know when we start talking about the saints, the brethren would say, well, you know, that's the work of the evangelist. I say amen to that as well. But there were those who helped Paul in the gospel. Beloved saints, there could be a change in many, if not all, our local assemblies, if we would only go out with the gospel and tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it was a command. But we are too quiet, beloved saints. When it comes to that of an eternal soul, you and I are too quiet about that. Souls are dying and going to hell. You and I have a message that can deliver them from such. Just think about it. The joy that is in our souls, knowing that we are on our way to heaven, and we bless God for that. Thank God for the individual that shared the gospel with us. Thank God for that. But what about the others that do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior? Do you feel what it's like for them to spend eternity in hell? Oh, beloved saints, we need to be stirred up about that. Because we focus on ourselves and the blessing we have been brought into, and we are on our way to heaven. There are others who are lost, beloved saints. And I stand in your presence to remind you, you were once lost. I was lost until we heard the gospel and we believed. What about others? So in Moses bringing the people together to speak to them, there has to be a response from their hearts to the word of God. I am convinced, and this is my conviction, that many a young person is able to take in some of the deepest truths of the scriptures. That's just Brother Joe's conviction. So don't go around saying, well, you know, this is what Brother Joe says the young people should do. That's just. Okay. Just give them an opportunity. Set your heart to it. We can see our young people on fire for the Lord if we just help them along in the things of Christ. So Moses calls them together and he says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgment which the Lord your God commanded you to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether you go in to possess. You ever read the 119th Psalm? And you ask yourself, what are they talking about? The law of the Lord, the testimony, the statute, and all of these different words they use. And you're saying to yourself, are they talking about something different? Oh, no. God is just referring to his word in different words, with different words. So he says the commandments, and it's bringing forth the authority of God's word. How you and I need to recognize that God's word has authority. Too often, beloved saints, when we speak the word of God, there are those who feel, well, you know, that's just Brother Joe running the mouth again. But the Apostle Paul had to remind those at Corinth that the things that he was speaking unto them were nothing short of the commandments of the Lord. Beloved saints, there is this attitude that we have developed that, oh, you know, that's your opinion, that's his opinion, but what about the authority of the Word of God? We need to get back to that. The statutes. The scripture says, the Lord says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. That's the book we are reading from, beloved saints, that the scripture says it is quick. It is living. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. No one can make claims that their book is able to do that, but the scriptures, beloved saints. It says, and the judgments. The word of God tells us how to be right, how to live right, how to act right. We come short. So Moses is telling these young people, this is what God wants from you, a response to his word. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Even those of us who are Christians are losing reverence for the Lord. There is this lackadaisical attitude that we are developing. Where is the fear that we should have for him? Isn't that what he asks his people? In the days of Malachi, if I am your God, where is my fear? Where is the fear, the reverence, the respect that you and I should have for the Lord? Oh, beloved saints, may God awaken us that we would be more sensitive and show respect, godly respect, for who God is. And you know what is sad, beloved? At the words that Malachi spoke, he says, your earthly rulers, you have more respect for them than for me. That's sad. You say it can happen to us? Of course it can. That is what we are afraid of. And in the local company, beloved saints, you and I have to be careful of that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you and I have to demonstrate when we come into the presence of the Lord in our daily lives to have that respect for God as we ought to. We're losing it. God has to be feared amongst his people. He has to be respected. He has to be reverenced. And beloved saints, might we get back to that in our attitude, in our the way we approach divine things. Might you and I have that respect that God to God that he deserves in our daily lives. So Moses is encouraging them that thou mightest be feared, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, verse 2, thou and thy son, and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. He is speaking to a generation. But then he says, your son, sons. Your son, and then your son's sons. At least Moses is looking forward to three generations. Paul puts it this way to Timothy. The things that thou hast seen and heard of me, commit thou to faithful men, that they may teach others also. Who are we teaching? Who are we discipling, beloved saints? Can you point out in your local assemblies that this is the one I am discipling? Or that's the one I'm discipling? Can you point out your disciples in your local assembly? Beloved saints, too often we have none. We are failing in our discipling of the young ones. Moses is not only concerned about the generation that was going into the land. Beloved, God needs continuity. It had to be their sons and their sons' sons to continue on in the things that God had given to them. It's the same for the local company, the fellowship. We need some continuity. It should not stop with us. What happens if there's to be some catastrophe among us? And we're not preaching no doomsday now, okay? Understand. But what happened? Some of the responsible ones were to call home in a mass number. Can the young ones, beloved saints, can they say amongst the people on that occasion, we are still going on. We're not going to shut the testimony down. The Lord has committed this into our hands and we will be faithful to it. We are going on. Can the young people carry on with the testimonies today? When the older ones die, we close the doors. Are you and I forgetting who God is? That God wants that there be continuity with testimonies? That can only take place, beloved saints, when you and I take off our jackets, our coats, and rub shoulders with the next generation behind us and say to them, look, this is what the Lord has given to me, and I want to pass it on to you so that you would be able to pass it on to someone else in the days to come. Paul, Timothy, faithful men, others also, where are they in our company? Brethren, we cannot point to those we are discipling. We cannot. And that needs to change amongst the people of God. The Lord says, I want you to make disciples of men. Not for ourselves now. We want to make disciples for the Lord. This is what Moses was stressing to the young people. It says, hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do. He wants us to hear. He wants us to observe. He wants us to do. Beloved saints, what we want is not just a portion to refresh us, as good as that is. Brothers, if you speak, we're not looking for a portion to just share with the saints, as good as that is. But when we get the portion, we want to say to ourselves, we want to do it. May we have the attitude of looking into the scriptures and the attitude of wanting to do it. Stop saying, oh, that's for him, that's for her. Let it start with me. This is what the Lord wants. It has to start with me. Moses wanted it to start with that generation. So he goes on. Hear therefore verse 3, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. So here God is adding longevity to life if his word were to be observed. We know very well concerning the rich young ruler who said to the Lord Jesus, what must he do to inherit eternal life? The Lord told him what to do, but we know for us it's different. For us to have life, we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we believe, and then we do. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And just one verse in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. First Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And then you have in Timothy, for there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. So this thing about one God, it's nothing new. It is that which was the foundation for the nation of Israel, that there was one God. Beloved saints, you just think about it, that these young people are getting ready to cross the Jordan, and when they get there, all these different altars and shrines, and this land is filled with all these images. What's the temptation? God is telling them early in their history, before they even cross the Jordan, there is only one God. There is only one God. We saw in the case of Josiah that he should love the Lord his God with all of his heart, his soul, and his might. But what's the challenge? It doesn't stop there. Listen to what it says. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach them what? Beloved saints, my responsibility as a parent, and your responsibility as a parent, and parents to be, is to be able to teach our children how to love the Lord. That's not easy. It is not easy at all. This is what Moses wanted. This is what the Lord expects. He says, all that I'm talking about, in order for there to be continuity, you have to be able to teach your children how to love the Lord their God. And that's what God wanted. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of their heart, their souls, and their minds. Oh, but beloved, what we have to be careful of is training our children to love the other things and putting God on the back burner. That's the challenge. It's God's first. And we constantly have to remind ourselves of that. God first. This generation had the challenge of putting God first and teaching their children to put God first. When you and I examine our lives, brethren, we have to bow our heads in shame. We have not put God first. You want an answer to the state of the fellowship? Our local assemblies? We have not put God first. That is why, beloved saints, we have to ask ourselves, have we forgotten who God is? He has to be placed first. So he goes on. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee, so forth. Remember Joseph? Remember when Potiphar's wife said, "Lie with me"? Remember what he said? He says, "Do you really expect me to do this and sin against God?" What was Joseph teaching us? I have to ask myself, beloved saints, how are my failures reflecting on the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? That is what Joseph was thinking about. Joseph wasn't thinking about his reputation. Joseph was thinking upon the fact that if this happens, how will it reflect on the Lord? That is loving the Lord with all of your heart. God first. Joseph knew what it is to put God first, because if he had sinned, it's going to reflect on the Lord and his name. That is what you and I have to teach our children. How will their behavior and their conduct reflect on the Lord? My conduct, my behavior, how does that reflect on the Lord? You ever been on the job? Something happens. You lose it just for a moment. And he calls himself a Christian. You ever heard that? Well, I know you work in an office. I worked in a shop, so it's quite different these days. You have your little cubicle that you hide your Christianity behind. We were open in the shop, but this is what happens. It is the name of the Lord that is affected. Moses is telling the young people, when you have your children, teach them that their behavior affects the name of the Lord. It reflects on him. But then he goes on to say, verse 10, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full." Can you imagine this, beloved saint? This is the goodness of God. You know, for 40 years, the children of Israel knew nothing of what it was like to dig the earth and put in some corn in it. They knew nothing of agriculture. They knew nothing of what it is to, except for the tabernacle, of course, you know, to build these big houses and luxury homes. They knew absolutely nothing about that. For 40 years, God provided for them in the wilderness. And now they're going into a land. Mind you now, they're going in and they say, "Oh man, we've hit it big. We don't have to work. We don't have to plant. We don't have to build houses. God has provided everything for us." The same thing, beloved, the Lord is doing for us who know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. Before he takes us in to the place that he has provided, he makes all the provision for us. He made all the provision for the children of Israel before he took them in. What do you and I read in John chapter 14? "I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us in the Father's house. You and I have to do nothing about that. But when he is finished, as it were, he then comes and takes us into the Father's house so that we may enjoy it. We have nothing to do. It's what he did for the children of Israel. He did all the preparation before he took them in. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. He made all the preparation for them. Planted. It was good. It is good. And then he placed them in it. Beloved saints, just think about the fact that the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And then he comes and he takes us home. He says, oh, welcome to my Father's house. Nothing we have to do. And so this generation, here they are, getting ready to go in. You know, they're scratching their heads. What are we going to do for food now? 40 years we had manna. Will the manna continue? All of these things that might have concerned them, Moses says, hey guys, take it easy. God has prepared all of that already. You just have to go in and enjoy it. Are we ready for the Father's house? Can we say the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us and he wants to come to receive us unto himself so that we can enjoy the Father's house with him? Oh, it's like the prodigal who went out and wasted his father's goods at riotous living. And when he came to himself, the scripture says, he came to himself and he says, I'm going home because I know what my father's house is like. I know there are servants who are in a better condition than I am in. I know they have better food than I have. I am going to my father's house. And when he got to his father's house, the father says, just embraced him and kissed him again and again. And the father says, bring the robe, bring the ring, put shoes on his feet, kill the fatted calf. Let's just eat and drink and be merry. This is my son that was lost. He is found. Oh, beloved saints, this is the atmosphere of the Father's house. And the Lord Jesus says there's going to be merriment there, but I'm going to prepare a place for you before. You know, you don't have to come and when you get there, then the preparation is being made. No, he says, I'm doing all the preparation before you even get there. Praise the Lord for that. This generation needed to know that God has made provision for you in the land. But what's the danger? Verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. That's the danger that you and I are faced with today, beloved saints. There's a hymn, and I'm trying to remember it. Less of forgetfulness of him. I can't remember how the hymn goes right now, but I know all of these young people have their phones and, you know, they're able to just punch in forgetfulness and it pops right up. So, Benjamin, just find it for me. Is that what it is? Well, find it for me. Make sure that's the one. But this is the danger. Forgetting the Lord. But I want to touch on this point in verse 20. Verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgment which the Lord our God had commanded you? See, this is what Moses started out with in verse 1. But Moses is conscious of the fact that the children are going to ask questions. This started out when the Passover was instituted. The Lord said to Moses back then, when the children ask, what is meant by this Passover. Beloved saints, just think about it for a minute with me. That all during the year, the children are used to having Domino's, Friday night, pizza party. They used to go into McDonald's for their happy meals. You know, when we work late, don't have time to prepare dinner, a happy meal is happy enough. Or we stop Chinese Thursday night. And all throughout the year, there is, you know, the common meal. And then this one week of the year, things are totally different. No Chinese pork fried rice, none of that in the house. No pizza with pepperoni, none of that. The house has to be cleaned and there's a lamb and we hold it in the house. And don't you think that would arouse the curiosity of the children? Well, Dad, why is it on Friday nights we have pizza with pepperoni and on Wednesday we have pork fried rice? Why is it this week things are different? Oh, beloved saints, it's the parents' responsibilities to answer the children, what does it mean? And then the stones that Joshua placed in the Jordan, what mean these stones? Oh, beloved saints, you see the importance. In order for there to be continuity, you and I have to know what these things mean for ourselves. If we expect to teach the generation to come, how many young people are just frustrated because they just do not get answers to their questions? Oh, we say we have it. We have the truth. Does the truth have us? We have to ask ourselves these things, beloved saints. Because Moses was expecting that the children are going to ask questions. You think the children are not important? Yes, they are, beloved. The children are important in the eyes of the Lord. That's why the Lord Jesus can say, do not do anything to hinder these children from coming unto me. Don't put a stumbling block in the pathway of the children. God holds you responsible because the children would ask questions. And the parents were responsible to give the answers. What's the breakdown in family life in America today? I can tell you. I remember when my children were in their early, before they got into the teenage years. One played the cello, the other played the violin. And as far as their school were concerned, these children are mine once they played that musical instrument. And I remember saying to a brother, I says, brother, this is what's happening in my home. We don't have time to sit down and eat anymore. He never counseled me. All he said, Brother Joe, it will just get worse. The next year I call him up. Brother, this is what's happening. Because they went from one show, and then they were in the band, and then there was the orchestra, then there was Pitt. And every performance, the school says, hey, Joe Wilson, these children are mine when it comes to performing in school. And I call up the brother. I says, hey, brother, this is what's happening. We're not able to sit down and eat as we once did. And he never counseled me. All he said, Brother Joe, it will just get worse. And I live to see, beloved saints, when this world get a hold on our children, it gets worse. The problem with life in America today, family has no time. Oh, yeah. Family time is gone. And God help us
when we get home on a Sunday and the ravens are playing. You see, the Jets are losing and the Giants are losing, so you can't point your finger at me. Family time, beloved saints. We have no time together as families to sit down and enjoy a meal together and talk about the scriptures. What's going on in your life, son? What's going on in your life, sweetheart? Just tell us. Let's just sit and have a nice conversation. Turn the phones off. Let's have a nice time together this evening. Brethren, it's being lost. It is being lost. But let me close with this point. The Lord referred to... Okay, where is that verse? Where he speaks about the house of bondage. Verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And in chapter 5, he refers to it as the fire furnace. I'll remember the term in a minute. But as brethren, when you and I talk, and we start getting deep into the scriptures, when the name Egypt comes up, what's the first thing we say about Egypt? We go, this is brethren talking. It's a type of the world. That's the first thing we say. It's a type of the world. Have that gripped my heart? Has that gripped your heart? But you hear how the Lord describes it. You see, we just say Egypt is a type of the world. That's true. It's a house of bondage. Can we allow that to sink in? So the Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, we can put it under this big umbrella. It is the house of bondage. Beloved saints, we have to plead with each other. Don't get trapped in this house of bondage. Fiery furnace, that's how the Lord describes it in chapter 4. Yes, Egypt is a type of the world. But it also holds its captives in bondage. And you and I have to ask ourselves, am I in bondage to anything of this world? I have to ask myself that. You see, we don't want to pass on. And this is where we have to be honest with ourselves, so that we can be honest with the young people, our children. You know, many of us as parents don't talk to our children that this job was a bondage in my life.
Oh, I got into this and it was a bondage. And many of the young people see Brother Joe as the preacher, perfect Brother Joe, until they call Patsy, and Patsy goes, you know, hey, I know that man different, you know, I've been married with him to him for 34 years. He's not perfect. And then I say, yes, Patsy, you're right. If you and I were to be honest and start passing on to the young people the bondage that we allowed ourselves to get into, and start telling them, God first. Put God first. Beloved saints, I believe it would make a difference. You see, all of this is being said because there has to be a continuity. You see, by the time you get to Judges chapter 24, some 40 years after they had crossed the Jordan, Joshua is speaking to them and he says, look, choose you this day. Choose. Who are you going to serve? Let's look at Judges chapter 2. The book of Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, verse 8. Judges 2, 8. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, even Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Moses called the young people together to speak to them God's word. Before you could get well into the next generation, it says they knew not the Lord, nor the works he had done for Israel. You want to tell me they forgot about how he delivered Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand? They forgot all of that? You want to tell me they knew nothing about crossing the Red Sea and how Pharaoh and his armies were drowned? They forgot all about that? They're being fed with the manna? They know nothing about that? Yes. Yes. You say, Brother Joe, that's Old Testament. Okay. Have you read the Epistle to the Ephesians? Have you read that recently? Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Seated there. All of these things we know. Predestination, all of this. Ephesians. Have you read lately what it says about the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation? They left their first love, beloved. Don't tell me it cannot happen to us today. There is testimony in the word of God. It has and can and will happen. If you and I do not take heed to what the word of God says. And if you and I don't take heed
than the generation to come. Don't expect them to continue in the things of the Lord. It's by God's grace he might deliver some. Like a Josiah, and raise them up to be something, someone for him. That's what can happen. There arose another generation that knew not the Lord, nor the works he had done for Israel. Don't let that be said of our children, brethren. Don't let it be said of our children. Let us, as we go forward, ask ourselves, have we forgotten who God is? That we ask him to deliver us from the things that are keeping us down from living this Christian life in all its vibrancy. Being committed to the things of the Lord, the testimony. May we pray and ask God to give us the strength that it might happen. That those who come behind us, they would find us faithful, beloved saints. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want to see growth. We want to experience life in the assembly. God is able, beloved saints. He's able to do it. And he's asking, who can I start with? Here in Bethesda, who can I start with? Who is the one who's going to commit themselves so that I can work and work in their lives for my honor, praise, and glory in the area of Bethesda, or in New York, or in Baltimore, or in Puerto Rico, wheresoever? He wants faithful and committed men and women. He says, this is the word of God. And I want to be faithful to it. Oh, beloved saints, how it breaks the heart of God to think that all that he has done for his people, what we do, we turn our backs on him. And that which he wants to deliver us from are the things we find the energy to go after. That was the downfall of that generation. And their children knew not the Lord, nor the things he had done for Israel. May God encourage my heart. It's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to live it. And then when you preach it, the enemy gets angry and he says, oh, you got power to preach, right? Ah, you have some children. Okay. You have children. Ah, you got the power to preach. Let me see where your children stand. Oh, yeah. That's where the test comes, brethren. That's where the test comes. But collectively, we can encourage each other so that we can be the people that the Lord wants us to be. May we be encouraged for his name's sake.
I think the first verse of 364. That's the first verse, 366.